What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Cigars and Everything Else podcast. We're in episode 87. My name's Jared. Got Denzel with me, and we're here to smoke some cigars, review some cigars, and talk about a little bit of everything else in the mix, man. But for now, since it's episode 87, Denzel, who we got? Who are we going to honor today's episode for? What great athlete wore 87?
Who you think? Football season just passed. Of course, we're in 87. And we're talking about some people who catch the ball. And Super Bowl champion, recent Super Bowl champion, just keeps getting it done over and over and over again. Mr. Taylor Swift himself. Put some respect on my man's name. Travis Kelce, 87. Kansas City Chiefs. Might go down as arguably the best, you think? In his position?
He got a little bit of time left to really push stamp that. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, he's making a case for himself. I mean, they have become quite the dynasty. You know what I'm saying? You can't start wondering.
Watch that title. I mean, Shannon Sharpe, he's one of them ones.
Right.
But Kelce, that boy he on them heels, if not on them toes.
Right. I mean, ultimately, man, you know, if people asking if his teammate is the Michael Jordan of it in football, you know what I'm saying? Like, then why is he not in the conversation? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, true. Being reliable. I mean, it is something to have.
That's his go-to. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Have a tight end who's a surefire and is going to get it done anytime you look his way. Something got to be said about that. And I thought you were going to say something disrespectful. I thought you were going to say, if he's Michael Jordan, then why isn't he Scottie Pippen?
No, I ain't going to call him Pippen. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to call him Pippen. I mean,
Pippen to Mahomes, Michael Jordan.
I don't want to go there. But I mean, somebody could make the analogy, you know what I'm saying, the comparison. But you know, I didn't want to do it just because Scotty is baby Dookie. I didn't want to compare him to that. Yeah, let's go Kobe Shaq, if anything. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm with that. But yeah, so 87, you know what I'm saying? Kelce, got to give it to him. Much respect. And they getting it done time after time after time again. And how many more are they going to get if they stay with it? Ain't no telling.
Yes, he's still got time on the clock to get a little bit more added to that legacy and really pad that possibility. So, yeah. Hey, man, I'm happy to have Mr. Kelce as today's honoree of the episode. Salute. We put your jersey up in the Raptors over here at Vernon's. That being said, though, we got to figure out which cigar is going to get put up into the rafter for today's episode.
Hey, and before you announce yours, I got to say this, man. I almost made a huge mistake. We're talking about what cigar band are we going to put in the rafters today? I almost made a mistake. I don't know what to do. So please help me figure out what to do. So... Mm-hmm. You remember that cigar I had picked up, right? And I said, oh, man, this cigar is like, it's in the $5 range. The band caught my eye. It looked nice. I think this cigar might be worth the try to see if we can find cigars that's in that price range, that low price range that can still be solid. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know what? I'm thinking I'm going to try this on the episode today. So I picked it up, Park Avenue, and I'm getting ready to take it out the cellophane, right?
Right.
I look on the back of it. And I don't know if we can't see. Can we see that? No, we can't see that. No, can we?
Came in for a moment. Lost it. What you got?
It says Gurkha, Park Avenue.
That's the $5 one?
Gurkha, Park Avenue, Habano.
Smoke that, bro. Smoke that.
And
run that.
I dropped them like, nah. you want me to smoke it?
Yeah, smoke that.
I thought you were going to say trash it. Cause I was so ready to trash it. I'm like, nah, man, there's no way.
That's $5, man.
You want me on episode 87 to smoke a $5 Gurkha that wasn't even bold enough to put Gurkha on the band.
Yeah, because it was a part of the experiment anyway. So at least the five was supposed to be on a nobody. Now it's five on a Gurkha. So I'm with it. I still want to see what a $5 cigar smoke like, but now that I know it's Gurkha.
Don't do this to me. You know what?
I like the idea of this, man. We got an accidental Gurkha. We weren't going to buy it on purpose. So now we get the opportunity to see if Gurkha can redeem himself.
Well, I did not expect this. Because I had already made my choice. Yeah. After I saw the Gurkha, I made my choice. I was going to go Ashton. I took it out the plastic and everything. I was ready. I did the sniff test, got my palate ready. So I had the Ashton Heritage Puro Soul. I was going to go there. Yeah. Got my details up and all that. I'm ready to rock and roll.
Yeah.
So you're saying smoke the Park Avenue Gurkha?
Yeah, I wanted the Park Avenue. I wanted the last episode, like two episodes ago, I wanted the $5 stick. I'm even more curious now that I know it's Gurkha.
All right, I'm going to do it.
Look, I'm going to tell you right now, the Ashton was going to be a 3.7. So now that we got that out of the way, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you know what? And to be honest, I have smoked that Ashton. I smoked it while I was on the water. It was at Corpus Christi at the coast. It was a beautiful smoke. And I wanted to bring that cigar to the episode and talk about it because it was such a great smoke and it was so reminiscent of something I've experienced in the past. And then just bringing it back just felt good. And I wanted to bring it onto the episode. So, since I smoked it, and I've already experienced it.
Yeah,
it probably would have been like around a 3.7, something like that. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I don't even know how you guessed that, but yeah, probably so.
It's Ashton. A lot of them be in that range. You know what I'm saying? They don't always hit fours, but they be just above average. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I'm gonna go with the Park Avenue Series 44. I'm gonna do it.
My man.
I'm gonna do it.
Straight cut punch.
Gonna go straight cut. Go straight cut.
Hey, I'm gonna go over my specs and give you time to figure out yours on this Park Ave.
Yeah, I gotta go back and pull it up now.
So, I have this premium aged tobacco, Last Call by AJ Fernandez, Maduro, and it's what's this word? It's a G word. Genials. Genialis. Look like
genialis. Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, something like that, man. At first you think it's good. It looked like genitals right off the bat, but then you got to refocus your eyes and realize that ain't what it say. But yeah, so anyway, this right here, it's got a Pennsylvania broadleaf wrapper on it, Nicaraguan origin. We got a Nicaraguan binder, Nicaraguan filler, and once again, this is by AJ Fernandez. So that's what I'll be smoking today. Look at this little size on it. You know what I'm saying? It ain't too big. You know, I'm hoping I can get about into that final third, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see if it's a fast smoke. We know that some of these shorter cigars, if constructed well, can last a good.
They do. They go an hour.
You know, so we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see how it progresses. So as you go through your information, I was trying to figure out this one, and even with Cigars International, where I know I think you like to pull up the information from Cigars International, right? Same with me. I don't have anything that pulls up on it other than a review by Brandon.
Okay.
It's a review by Brandon. That's all we get. So I don't know much about the cigar. I don't know about much of the construction and what we're expecting to encounter with the filler binder. Let's see what else. No, I found one. Okay, here we go. So Nicaraguan origin, wrapper Ecuador, and Ecuador, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
Binder Dominican, filler Dominican, and Nicaraguan. Yeah. Okay. And on the profile, you know how like a lot of our cigars that we smoke, they'll be that medium profile. This one falls towards the lighter side. So it's even lighter. It's not even in the middle. So it's just one notch up.
This is gonna be
should be a nice, smooth, easy smoke.
A little creamy smoke on you.
We'll see. We'll see, Gurkha. So I'm gonna go straight bit right to the cigar now. I'm not gonna disrespect the cigar. Nah, I ain't gonna do that. I ain't gonna be disrespectful to Gerber. You know, they're trying to give us something different, and they're being cost effective. You know, not trying to sell me a $30 Gurkha.
Yeah, you gotta respect that. You know what I'm saying? They being cost effective in a rough economy. You know what I'm saying? So they putting something out for the people. So shout out to Gurkha for that.
All right, so I got it toasted lightly with the cedar. So I'm gonna do a toast first. So I'm gonna give it the best treatment. So I just gave it a nice cedar toast without trying to puff it. Right.
Right. Man, I'm gonna tell you now. This last call, right off the bat, kicks up, man. Now, I'm assuming some of this cedar is coming off the actual cedar stick that I had, but man, it's got some straight up like dark chocolate notes off right off the bat. It's hitting hard, like, you know what I'm saying. Okay. But it's more like the bitterness of it, of dark chocolate, not necessarily the sweetness per se.
The sweetness, which, you know, I don't mind the bitterness of dark chocolate. I really don't. I'm one of those. All right, there we go. Park Avenue 44, we got you lit. Took a couple puffs. Not bad.
Hey, I'm hoping this Gurkha can get at least a 3.5, man. That would really make my day if they get a 3.5.
All right, here we go. Here we are. I never thought that I would be smoking a Gurkha.
Again in the rest of your life.
I got tricked into it, and then I got pressured.
Hey, man, I like this, man. I like this. This is the greatest accident ever, man.
For you. Yes, we'll find out for me. We'll find out.
For Gurkha also, man. You know what I'm saying? A brand that half of us hate and half of us love. So, you know, is your palate...
I don't know if it's half and half. It can't be half and half. It's got to be like 10%, but that 10% are their Beehive Gurkha fans. You know what I'm saying? They just ride for Gurkha just that much. But I don't think it's that many. I really don't think it's that many. There we go. So hey, you were saying something, man, before we got on air, and you were talking about just where you are in life and things that you're trying to add to and then also remove yourself from, in a sense. Right. And I kind of stopped you because I'm like, no, hold on. Whatever you got to say, because I think it's going to go in a direction I actually want to explore.
Okay.
So I want you to jump back into it and tell me, where were you going? I don't want to make any assumptions.
Well, I was saying for myself, man, I'm reaching a point where I'm feeling like I'm ready to just pull back from the internet, period, man. I want to get to a stage of life where I'm back to how life used to be. I'm missing the old days where TV cut off and where you didn't have a unlimited amount of content to watch. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because ultimately that's a distraction. So like, I'm going to start doing that for myself, where I'm giving myself boundary hours and stuff like that. Maybe my hours will be what TV used to be. You know what I'm saying? You could watch a little bit of cartoons and stuff before the school bus. Then at 7 o'clock, it was news. You know what I'm saying? And nothing to watch throughout the day unless you was into soap operas and game shows. Oh, yeah, TV, man, like, for a kid was 3 to 5. And then after that, you ain't had nothing to watch again.
If it was summertime, where you stay home sick, you knew cartoons or Gumby or Sesame Street or whatever you was into, Barney was going off, and what, no child programming. It was all stories and Price is Right.
Price is Right. That was the show, man.
I remember General Hospital.
General Hospital. What's the other one? Guiding Light. As the world turns, all of them joints. Yeah. Man, I remember just being a little kid.
Yeah.
I remember like PBS used to be pretty much all I could watch as a kid, and that would go off at a certain point. So you would get your Reading Rainbow, you would get your Sesame Street, you would get what was the other joint? The one Where in the World Is Carmen Sandiego? That was my joint. I used to really look forward to that
one.
And it would just go off. You know what I mean? I'm yearning to add some silence to my world so I can resume focusing. You know what I'm saying? Cool. So it's just too much content, and it's too easy to get them dopamine highs from it. And sometimes I even find myself looking for something to wind down to at nighttime. And I'll be laying in bed and I'm looking for something. You just keep thumbing up and nothing hit the spot for you. You can't find nothing to entertain you so you can go to sleep feeling fulfilled and entertained.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have that type of dependency on this stuff no more, man. Yeah. So it's like I'm going to start shutting it off for myself a little bit, man.
You know what? And that's the same thing. Like, and that's why I stopped you, because I was having a similar thought. Matter of fact, just this morning. And of recent days too, but a lot this morning too, to where I'm thinking like, hey man, when I wake up, like a lot of times, I'm pretty sure not just you or myself, but some people, first thing they do when they wake up, they pick up their phone and they start doing something, whether it's checking text messages, checking the stock market, checking social media, checking to see what their notifications are, who DM me, who text me, who called me while I was asleep, all of that.
Yeah.
And I want to start putting myself on a time restraint. Like, okay, I got to check the time, of course, when I get up. But I don't want to do nothing else on my phone until I'm up and good and settled. Like, let me get a good hour into my day on the way to work or whatever, and then let me get into my phone. Not one of the first things I do as soon as I pick up my phone, start checking who sent me a message or what I missed or who just posted what. And like, I didn't think I was that guy, but I kind of found myself being that guy. Like, I never felt like someone who was always attached to like social media or some kind of content, but you kind of just start finding yourself falling into that. Like, oh, like, wait, hold on. How did we get here? Because we didn't grow up into that. That was something that was added onto our lives as
later in life. We were adults.
Adults, yeah.
We were so not grown-ups with responsibilities by the end.
Yeah, it was something added to us later. So it was like, we never thought that we would be so consumed by it when it first became a thing. It was something we were entertained by. You know, and we have our conversation, whether it was through BBM or then became WhatsApp, and we have our memes and jokes when we feel like we started memes anyway. But we never saw technology and social media taking a turn to where it's become like something you have to do, or you feel like you have to be attached to and scroll and scroll and scroll. TikTok, Instagram, and from one app to another app, to Facebook to X or Twitter, whatever they call it. And then just keep going. I found myself doing this in one app, out of that app, to another app, to another app, to another app, and then back to the same app, and then close that one out, and then close it, and then open right back up. I've done that.
Yeah.
I close Instagram and open Instagram right back up. Like, why did I just do that?
Still searching for something. You know what I'm saying? Like, what am I searching for? Like, I'm just looking for something to grab my attention.
You don't even know.
Yeah, you're just hunting for nothing with no purpose. And that's what it's become. And it's just so much out there as far as the content that you just end up stuck in it. Like my children, I can't even get them into programming because they just would rather watch user created content.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, man, that's cool and all, but you know, once you start dedicating so much of your attention to that, you're building other people's legacy, you're building other people's their livelihood, but you're not focusing on yours anymore. Like, you know what I'm saying?
And that's that time that you spend dedicated to indulging in somebody else's content, you're taking away from what you could be creating. And especially when we were kids, we had that time to be able to curate our minds and our artisticness, right?
Yeah.
For me, whether it was music or whether it was drawing something or whether it was writing poetry or whatever it was, I would have that time for myself. We didn't like once TV went on or what no TV programming on that Saturday. We were talking about like after cartoons went off and wrestling went off.
Mm-hmm.
My pops was watching Bowling or Swamp Thing or
Swamp Thing
Hawk or something like that. That would just come on Saturday afternoon, you know what I'm saying? Or news or whatever, or the Weather Channel. You know what I mean? But so when that time came, if we weren't outside playing, getting tough, getting strong, getting good at a sport or whatever, building those things, we were in the house, and we never had video games. My dad would not buy us a Nintendo. We wanted one. We asked one for every Christmas, every birthday. Never got a Nintendo. So when we were home, we had to do something. So I found myself doodling and drawing and getting good at art, or starting to write down songs, or learning how to make songs, and just creating something of myself, or whether it was going out in the backyard and practicing martial arts all day. I had to go, you had to go do something to cultivate you.
Or like you said, when you go outside with the other, with your brothers and sisters or the other kids in the neighborhood, that was social media. That was social media. That's when you socialize. That's when you knew how to become a person and interact with people. And you learned all your life lessons in that moment from actually being outside. Like people talk about outside now like it's something special when it used to be the norm. I'm outside. We outside with it.
You got to announce
when
it.
When did outside become special? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Outside always been there. It's always been there.
Yeah, man. Everybody was outside back in the day. We ain't had nothing else to do. You was outside doing stuff, moving and shaking. Boy,
and also, your parents would tell you to go outside. Come on, go outside. You sit around and go outside. Go do something. Go figure out something
in the neighborhood. Be around. Be out and about. You go to the store with your friends or wherever you was doing, but you would go do something. Like, shoot. I'm at a stage where I feel like I need that balance. I need the balance that came with back in the day. So it's nice to know I have the option to go back into this whole media field, internet world, but it doesn't need to be everything. You know what I'm saying? I need to get back where it's a balance of having a real life beyond that and doing stuff, cultivating certain talents and abilities. You can get so much done. Like, you know, you said on an episode, we're not busier. We're actually freer, but we're more occupied. You know what I mean? Like, and that rings true. You know what I mean? Like, so if I didn't spend an hour doing whatever on the phone, you know what I'm saying? Like, what would you be doing with that hour? Maybe cleaning your home. Maybe cooking dinner, you know what I'm saying? Instead of going out to eat, maybe you would go exercise instead. Maybe you would learn an instrument, you know what I'm saying? Whatever you want to do, you know what I'm saying? You would find something to do to pass the time.
To fill that time. Yeah.
We need to be bored again instead of being bored because nobody dropped a good video today. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need to be bored to find a way to fill the boredom with something productive.
Yeah, because being bored is how we got here. How we got to these advancements, you know,
correct.
And it's sad to see, and I hope our youth learn it. But the crazy thing is, just like you said, you mentioned it for yourself. It's not even just for the youth; it's for us too.
Yeah,
us 30 plus, 40 plus, 20 plus. You know what I'm saying? 50 plus. It's for us too, because like for us, it feels like it took us by storm, and then we get lost and we realize how deep we are into it. With these kids, they were born into it, so it's their norm. It's their norm. And yes, we should try to break them away from it and give them that, because humans don't change. We're the same humans we were 1,000 years ago. You know,
with new toys and gadgets.
Just didn't have those things. Just didn't have those certain amenities available to us. So we still need to go out and do things to become what we need to become. And have the advantages and advancements that we need to have, and we can't do it if we're just tied to our phones and social media or some gadget or whatever. So I'm absolutely with you on that.
Man, back in the day, if you was a kid, you could never say you were bored. If you said you were bored, your parents would put you to work. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. That's one. Yeah, true. Oh, you bored? Oh, I got something for you.
Take this broom. Go outside. Cut the grass.
Here's a rake.
Rake up them leaves. Something, you were gonna get put to work, like you bored.
So either,
that was that word was not allowed
go
most
work,
of the time.
Or you bored, and I gotta figure something. I can't go other than this. I gotta go find something to do. And we would go find something to do. We would,
bro. Think about the world we were in. I sent you a video of this dude that made this Ninja Turtle toy. And he had Raphael just sitting in the lair, flipping through his CD book, listening to Wu-Tang CDs and stuff. And it just made me think back to a time where you could literally sit down and all you did was put your headphones on and listen to music. Think about the fact that we did that. You weren't multitasking. You could sit there with your Walkman and on the floor and listen to an entire album and do nothing but be in your thoughts and taking in the songs and stuff like that. Probably imagining stuff, visualizing the world and things and listening to the actual story and imagining the stories that you're hearing and stuff, or thinking about your day or what happened today or what's going to happen tomorrow. Nobody, we take in music now. It's multitasking. I'm driving, I'm in the gym, I'm cleaning the house, I'm doing stuff. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I'm scrolling while I'm listening to something. Matter of fact, most of the media that we take in, like, I don't know how it is in your household with your kids. Well, I can with my kids, I'm like, hey, we're about to watch a movie. This is how they watch the movies. You know what I'm saying? Like, how are we sitting there watching a movie like that? I got pissed one time. I'm like, hold on, wait. Go put your phones up. Go put them phones up. Like, we sitting here watching a movie. Like, we're taking in content. Like, we can't even fully take in content.
Without taking in content.
Like, that's crazy. So, like, we say we're listening to music. Like, you said listen to album. But we got to be doing something and fidgeting with something while we're doing it. Even when we're driving. Sometimes it just feels more comfortable to have my phone in my hand just doing this while I'm driving, even though I know I'm not supposed to. But being real, like, I just feel like I got to have something in my hand. It's crazy.
How did we get here? When we grew up having enough peace and clarity to be able to sit there in quiet, not quiet technically because you had your headphone, but with nothing else going on in the room.
With nothing else. Because other than maybe going through the CD book, that's maybe the only other thing you were doing, which also reminds me, like, in the morning when you're eating breakfast and eating cereal, what we had the back of the cereal box.
And that was all you had. And even then you were reading. Who reads now? You know what I'm saying? So, like, it was just, it's really amazing that people were able to do that, because then you are actually being in the moment with what you're doing. You're being present in the moment and you're focused on what you're doing. None of us do that. Multitasking is something they tricked us into thinking was something special. We were hoodwinked. And multitasking is terrible because you never given all of your focus to what you're working on. You know what I'm saying? To nothing. Why would that be good? Yes, you might be achieving more, but if you're actually trying to improve on something, you'll never be the best version of yourself doing that
In order to be, like you said, the best version of yourself, in order to be great at the particular thing that you're doing, you can't afford to multitask. Like, you have certain sports players who are great at so many different sports, right? Yeah, you're LeBron James who played football and AI who played football, or vice versa, guys who play football who can play basketball. But they had to say, you know what, I'm going to focus on this one and get hyper-focused on this thing and not multitask. Now, you had your other greats who could do both. Yeah, your Deion Sanders and your Bo Jacksons, but those are rare cases in order to be ultra great. But think how much more greater Deion Sanders could have been if he would just focus just on solely on football. Same for Bo Jackson, right? So it's just the fact that understanding humans don't change, the nature of us, we don't change. So with us multitasking, in the way that we do, it really diminishes our heights that we can go to. And we're just brought into this culture of everything we're doing, we have to do it doing something else. That's how things are coming now. Whatever we're doing, we have to do it doing something else. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's something, man. I'm off of it, man. Look, man, it's going to probably be like getting off coffee or something. You know what I'm saying? I might have headaches some days, and it might be harder some days, and I might go get a cheat day here and there. But I'm going to try personally for myself
to
scale back as much as possible, man. And I think if you made it this far into the conversation, you should consider it too. How about that? Telling you what to do.
Yeah. Go off the grid. Mm-hmm. I wanted you to say that because you said it earlier. Because speaking of going
off the grid, bro.
Speaking of going off the grid,
yeah.
Oh, buddy, who dropped the album name Off the Grid? He probably needs to be off the grid right about now.
Yeah,
he literally. Like, it's so the irony of being off the grid and that album that he dropped. And Buddy tried to get off the grid. He tried.
Yeah.
But before we get in that, where you at with your cigar, man?
I'm in a good spot with it, man. This is, they had the little meter. How you said you on the light side of the meter. I'm on the red side of the meter, and I am legit on the red side of the meter. I feel like I'm getting a coffee wake up or something. You know, I feel like a booster. I'm waking up, but it's got the chocolate notes that I mentioned. It's got heavy espresso. It's got a good aroma coming off of it, and it's I would say those are the things I'm kind of picking up on now, man. Some espresso, some chocolate, and nice full body smoke, good aroma coming off the smoke.
I like it. I mean, you knew what to expect based off the profile.
Yeah. profile. It is what the profile said it would be. But it's enjoyable though. I enjoy it. It's well done, as AJ tends to do. You know what I'm saying? I enjoy it.
Yeah. Shout out to AJ. But this Park Avenue 44. It is a Gurkha. It is a Gurkha.
Mm-hmm.
It is a Gurkha. But I would say this: the smoke is smooth. It's a smoother smoke. So yes, same as you say, your profile on that opposite side, it is on the lighter side. But it just does have this like little this little tinge of spice that kind of accompanies it. Like, it's not much, but but you can tell it's there. I don't know if it's just bad cigar Gurkha that's making it like that, or whether that was intentional.
Intentional
in the spice. I don't know. I'll reserve that comment for later. But I will say this, which is a notch up for this Park Avenue versus a typical Gurkha. It is a leatherless Gurkha.
There we go, Gurkha. Come through.
Leatherless.
That's all right.
But yeah, man. So
look, that's a nice ash on that Gurkha, though, man. And you don't do nice ashes.
This construction. So. $5. This is not a $5 construction. Ash. It's not a $5 ash. Ash.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, Diddy, man, Brother Love. We've had discussions about Brother Love on this podcast before.
Yeah,
we've had different takes and different viewpoints of sort.
Yeah.
But my approach today is a little different. My approach today is vastly different.
You're doing a 180 on your Diddy opinions from the past.
I'm doing a full 180 on my Diddy opinion. So did he do it? Man, did he did it, done it, doing it?
Yeah.
Did he I'm feeling this is all assumption, alleged,
speculation,
however you want to word it. But I feel like Diddy's on that side of about as worse as they possibly can come, right? That's your Suge Knight figure, and your Suge Knight figure is the you know what I'm saying, that vibrato, that dominant. You know what to expect with Suge, but I feel like Diddy's coming from a different cloth of that mastermind behind the scene.
Puppet master. You know what? It's funny you mentioned that though, man. I had that same talk with somebody that brought up Suge when referring to Diddy to me. That was earlier this week. And I was like, well, technically Diddy's worse because at least Suge let you know what you were dealing with and who he was up front. Puffy kept it a secret who he was. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and once again,
I feel like it's intentional, but go ahead.
No, but you're gonna say once again, everything, we don't know exactly who Puffy is at this point in time. So this is all, you know, we'll say this. You're innocent until proven guilty, and he's not been proven guilty of no crimes.
True.
But absolutely. At the same time, where there's smoke, there's fire. Cigar talk, no pun intended. Where there's smoke, there's fire, and there's a lot of smoke coming from Puffy's side where he's he's probably done something. You know what I'm saying? Now, how bad he's gone, we don't know. But for now, we can only speculate with what's out there, which is what we're going to get into.
And I'm speculating. You said you don't know how bad or how worse is what's the worst of it. I feel like it's about as worse as you can humanly get. Me personally, this is just me personally. And okay. I've been binging lately, and maybe I've just been drinking the Kool-Aid or drinking the Sprite, pun intended.
Yeah.
And I'm just of the mindset of this whole puppet master mind, a manipulation type of deal that's going on, and it's probably been going on behind the scenes for so many years. You're talking about about 30 years now, right? Yeah. To where, like, even with Big situation, right? One, you get rid of Craig Mack. You want to do it my way? All right, I'm out. And Craig Mack spoke of somebody trying to bring bodily harm to him and have to protect himself. Didn't say who, didn't say what. Didn't say it was actually Diddy, but it could have been masterminded by Diddy. Yeah. Mace has spoke on seeing some odd things and people trying to do bodily harm and possibly setting him up in a way. Masterminding. Look at Big. And I think Big was a situation where, hey, look, it's either me or him. And that might be my number one artist. Yeah. And you know what? Somebody got to pay for Pac dying, and especially if it's on my hands. I'm not saying it was on his hands, but if it got to be somebody, if it's got to be me or him, my empire and me, or if I got to get another artist just to replace this guy, it's got to be Big. I got to give you up. I'm sorry, man. I'm playing chess pieces. Puppet master. All right, so long, Big. I'm honored.
And it said Big didn't trust him either.
It said Big didn't trust him. You keep going forward. You look at... You everybody's heard the Jaguar Wright thing about how all the people from Uptown dead, almost died.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you think about his connections. Andre Harrell ended up dying. Might have had something to do with it. Things going bad after so many years of relating with each other in a certain way. All right, guess what? It's either me or you. Somebody got to go. Guess what? It's going to be you before it's me.
What you mean relating to each other in a certain way? Come on with it. I know what you mean, but you tiptoed around it.
Right. So, okay. So, Clive Davis, Andre Harrell. And we know Clive Davis came out as bisexual about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That might have been a thing. And then he skipped over Harrell, goes to Puffy. Puffy and Harrell might have had a situation, a sexual situation, allegedly.
Yeah.
And then also one with Clive Davis. So now we got possibly some bad blood, but also like some kind of growing together. But then at the same time, you were kind of chosen over me. You're going to ride with me, Andre Harrell, but somebody got the higher notch. Probably by doing something, you know what I'm saying, doing more favors.
Right.
It was favored more so than the other. You know, Pretty Boy Puffy. You know,
yeah, got the swag. Services. You learn, he on top.
Yeah,
no Diddy at the top part.
No Diddy yet.
Yeah,
and then relationship probably going bad to where you know what, we're going to talk about some of these things. I'm gonna out you. All right, well, you got to go, Kim Porter. You got to go, and it seems like elimination along the way. I'll be sure. I'm gonna die. You got to go. It's like, hey, look, if it's and you can see probably or the possibility of that growth of egregiousness, like growing throughout the years, throughout the decades, and things becoming more and more apt to be like, hey, look, I gotta eliminate whoever I gotta eliminate. And you've seen it become more and more frequent as decades pass. And that's just, to me, it just looks like a Diddy thing of where you're growing more egregious and desensitized to some of the crimes that you're willing to commit. All legend, all speculation. And I'm just dissecting more and more, just looking at how these relationships, the whole Clive Davis, Whitney Houston thing, Clive Davis, Left Eye thing. You just see so much of Clive Davis behavior, alleged behavior, and Diddy kind of mimicking some of these behaviors and becoming bigger and worse than what, I don't even know if worse, if there's a worse. But it's just, you see some kind of, you see
Following his mentors.
Yeah, following your mentors and some of the things that you were forced to do and had to do in order to be to get to a certain place in your career, and you're following in that mold.
Yeah,
that's just what it's starting to look like to me when I separate everything. And I've never been a big Diddy fan. You know, I love some of the music that was put out. You know, and some of the artists that he had. You know, from 112 to Big to Shine and all the great things that he's done musically, right? Yeah. But I was never really a Diddy guy. Never really cared much for Diddy. Loved the music that was put out from the camp, bar none. It's been some good stuff throughout the years, you know. Yeah. But just having to step back and look at, it's not looking like what it should look like.
And that's interesting to hear you go down this path, because last time we discussed Puff on the show, you know, we went down a path where, you know, you was kind of defending, you were kind of defending Diddy a little bit, and I felt like I was being the Puffy hater, so I had to pull it back a little bit, you know what I'm saying, and kind of try to walk the line, you know what I mean? But so now you've, after more information is continuing to come out, you kind of like, hey, man, all right, maybe dude ain't what I thought he was. Maybe he was messing some people over.
Yeah, and not just messing them over, but eliminating. That's the part that's getting me. Like, it's the elimination of individuals. I get bad practice, you know what I'm saying? Maybe some bad sexual misconduct or whatever, but where it gets me is the elimination of people. And we've always seen it. We've always kind of talked the conversation, but when I looked at the lineage of things and the elimination of people from other sides, it's looking like it's the same type of deal. And it's like, nah, this is deeper than what I thought originally. This goes deeper.
You have everybody that's connected to him saying the same thing about him. So at a point, it does become, is it conspiracy when everybody connected to you all saying that you messed us over, you tried to get rid of us, you did this and that, like everybody saying they had some type of distrust or disdain, and you're the only one to survive everything? Like, even Keefe D said, man, we grew up as childhood friends in Pop Warner together, me and Suge, and he put us against each other, and his empire is the only one that made it. Like,
yeah.
Efe saying it, Suge didn't make it. Like, everybody looked at the Tupac and Biggie beef. Pac hated Puffy worse, from what I gathered. He just was like, he always said, that's my little brother with Big. Like, that's my little brother, and I'm mad at him right now, but you know, it is what it is. He seemed to hate Puffy. You know what I'm saying? It was never that with Puff. Like, I think he wanted to put hands on him. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And matter of fact, they said he ran him up underneath a car or something one day or something like that. Like, You never heard that story?
Nah, I never heard that story.
Pac caught him at like an award show or something like that, and chased him outside or something, and Puffy like ran and hid up underneath a bus or something like that, man. They couldn't get him. But I think he really wanted to get his hand.
Yeah.
It's all these people that's connected. I sent you the video of the dude with the deposition from, like, they were interrogation, like, back in 2018. Some random guy that shot up a hotel on behalf of Donald Trump or something like that. And the guy
I didn't get to finish that video.
He seems kooky and crazy, but he's saying everything that came out to be true that we found out in 2023 through the Cassie lawsuit. He said, I was a sex worker for Puffy, and I would have to sleep with Cassie while he sits in the corner and beat his meat in the corner, you know what I'm saying, to us. And he was like, that Puffy would do all this cocaine and stuff in the corner. He said, and I would overhear certain business meetings that he would have because he would have his phone connected out to the speakers and stuff where he could hear it. And he was saying that how Puffy is pretty much, his lawyers get him a lot of good deals. He got the same lawyers that were with Michael Jackson. He was like, Michael Jackson was definitely overdosed on purpose. It was nothing by accident. He was saying that that basically after the situation happened where he had messed around with Puffy and all that, he said that Puffy's gay. said Rick Ross and DJ Khaled, Gay, they all had these wild boat nights and stuff where they get drunk and sleep with people and stuff. And he said that Puffy was afraid that he was going to come out against him and tell everything. So he said he paid him off like 50 grand as quiet money. But then Puffy ended up, after he paid him off, he went and tried to get him in trouble with the law by saying that he was an extortionist. He said, and then Puffy still was worried that he was going to tell people. So he sent people to his house and stuff like that to threaten them. He had, because he lives in Miami. He said he sent Rick Ross and some of his people, some of the goons to the house to threaten them because he was worried it was going to get out. And it seems that's a theme for what everybody's saying with Puff. He's worried that who he is behind closed doors is going to get out. Yeah. So a lot of elimination comes from that fear is what it seems. Yeah.
And that's what I feel like drive is, it's like that driving factor too, because he worked so hard to have this outward image of this guy, right? Of you know, brother love, I'm spreading love and uplifting this, and I'm doing that, and you know, the guy who came from not necessarily nothing, but I built a brand and I became this guy and this whole Gatsby mindset, and I'm rich and flashy, but you know, I'm still a humble guy, and I'm so nice and this and that, and I think it's a mask, right? And that's what kind of, you know, rubs me in a way. And it's like you're seeing through the mask now, and it's like, hold on, because before you're able to just like, all right, well, there's some things you hear or whatever, and you kind of just get past it because of the mask. And then going back listening to some old interviews, and you can kind of see that body language. And
get uncomfortable, you know, certain times, yeah,
talking about certain things and how you're using the death of Biggie to go in this direction and how you speak on them, and it all seems like a cover up. Like for me now, it seems more of a cover up. Like the whole persona of everything you've been doing over the last 30 years just seems like a cover up from this madman that's behind the scenes. But then also throughout the years, you hear these stories and you've seen these things and these incidences of this madman peeking through. The whole run to somebody's office and beating them up, the club situation with J-Lo and Shine, and like you see these peaks of a madman. You see peaks of a madman throughout history. If you look back,
crunch and cold, it's beating Drake with a weight.
Mm-hmm.
Doggone, like you tried to attack Kendrick. Hanging Wale over the edge.
But no, you see these episodes of a madman, and it's hard to see it in the moment, like until you get to 30 years later and you just start adding it all up together. And it's like, yo, my man is crazy. This man is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, because like you're able to kind of like, it's like in a relationship, like you have people who get in an abusive relationship and my heart goes out to those people who stick with people in abusiveness and abusive relationships, but they try to make it, you say, make themselves look nice and after the moment, and you kind of forgive and then go and forget. But then once you step back and you look at that relationship that you've been in for 10 years, it's been abusive. You're like, these are way too many incidents over 10 years. Like, yeah, you don't isolate anything. You consolidate it all. And once you consolidate it all, it just looks wild. It looks wild. Like, but if you separate things from four or five years between incidences, it doesn't seem that bad in the moment. Like, oh, dang, something else happened. But like Draymond, who keeps getting suspended, like you keep seeing somebody do some things, and then you just like look at the culmination of it all, you consolidate it, and it's just like, man, no regular person is doing these things in a 30-year period. It's just not happening. Some people have bad days and bad moments. But then when you consolidate it all, you're like, yo, this, your stats are looking crazy, homie.
Yeah, like, you built the highlight reel, homie. Like, what happened?
Yeah. Like, you're out of control. It's overboard. So that's where I'm at with the whole Puffy thing, man. That's where I'm at with the whole, it's too much. It's too much.
Yeah, that's the point I reached with, like, for me, I can be dismissive of stuff up to a certain point, and then it reaches a certain point, and you start kind of preparing yourself like, all right, this is a real strong possibility. Like when Bill Cosby, you know, He had a bunch of women come out before I finally accepted, all right, Bill done something wrong somewhere along the line. I don't know how bad he done it, but he done something wrong at some point. Like,
yeah,
that's where I'm at with Puffy. It's like, I don't know how egregious he is, but he's definitely not been a good guy in his life. He's done some stuff wrong at some point. So which leads me to the question for you. Do you think he, do you think it's malicious, or do you think it's something where he's making mistakes and then trying to clean them up? Or do you think he's just like
a combination?
It's so dark.
It's a combination. I think in the beginning, it was a few mistakes that were made that now I have to pay a price for and I have to find a way to cover it up. Then after you make those few mistakes, it becomes a normalization to you. Like, you just become desensitized.
Uncomfortable with it, yeah.
And normalize that this is my lifestyle. And then once you've done so many bad things, it's like, all right, what's one more bad thing? What's another bad thing? What's okay, now this one's not as bad as that one. I've done way worse. So even though this is still bad in most public people's, in most eyes of the public, to you, because you're desensitized and you've done way worse, that you just now start developing a habit of doing things that to you don't seem as bad because you've done way worse. But in the public eye, yo, this you get out of control. And I think that's the kind of guy Puffy's become.
Have you ever watched the show You before?
What's that?
You ain't never watched it? Okay, it ain't going. It ain't
worth it. Oh my gosh, bro. Oh, okay. Go for that. I got something to share.
I was just gonna say Puffy has become the dude from You. So anybody that's watched the show, you know, they'll get the reference. But go ahead. What are you gonna say?
I gotta check that out. I'm blown away. I gotta put my cigar down. All right. So this morning, I had a feeling, right? And something rang in my head, R. Kelly, when he said, I gave y'all 30 years of my career. 30 years. Now, this is all assumption, speculation, or just some conclusion I'm drawing up just from a few incidences. I feel like that this whole soul selling thing is a 30-year deal. I started doing a little bit of research and just looking at dates. You know, we love looking at dates and like, man, this lines up with childhood, adulthood stuff, all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so Michael Jackson died in 2009.
Yeah.
And I said this, when did Off the Wall, when did his first solo album come out? And I just looked at it.
79. Like,
don't tell me it was 30 years ago. And sure enough, 1979.
79, yeah.
30 years collected. R. Kelly. Okay, y'all, 30 years of my career. When he go, things start going bad for him.
Yeah.
And I looked up R. Kelly. And then in Wikipedia, it says 89 to this and this and that public announcement. 89, 2019, things go bad.
Yeah.
Bad Boy Records. Man, when was Bad Boy Records established? I looked it up. 1994.
94, yeah.
30 years later, it is 2024. I said, you mentioned Cosby. I was like, let me just now, real time.
Yeah.
When did Cosby go bad? 2014, 2015? When did Cosby Show come out? 30 years prior, 1984. Assault allegations have been made against Cosby since 2014, 30 years later.
It's interesting, man. It's interesting to the point where you have to wonder, what is it? Coincidences. I'm torn with coincidences. There's a part of me that want to say, hey, man, it exists. And then there's another part of me that's like, man, there's no such thing as a coincidence. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not the biggest conspiracy theorist, you know, but that is very interesting that everybody's aligning with this 30-year time frame that you're pointing out now.
Yes, for some reason, something just said 30 years, and I'm feeling like 30 years is a long time. So say you go, and you're so desperate to get into something and to make some money, and somebody says, look, for 30 years, and you're 20-something, and you think, when you're 20-something, you think 30 years from now is a lifetime.
Yeah,
it's more than the
you
money
haven't even reached
you've
lived it yet.
A lot. You haven't even lived 30 years yet. You haven't even been cognizant of your life for about 15 years since you were 4 or 5 years old. And then the prominence of your life when you're about 20 something has only been like 5 or 6 years that you've actually right. like that's meant something to you. So to say 30 years, I'll give you millions of dollars all the everything that you want in life, and you have it for 30 years. Like, you know what? Sign me up for that, and I can figure it out after 30 years and then collect some money, and I can go about my way and live my life however I need to live. With all the billions of dollars that Michael Jackson has made, you would think that he could probably think, okay, I can figure my way out of this. I can figure my way out of this. I done made billions of dollars. I can figure my way out of this. I just need to get this billy real quick, and I can go about my way and figure out life however I need to figure out. So let me sign this 30-year contract and do what I got to do. I'm just saying. Conspiracy, speculation. I don't know. It's just something I thought about just this morning. I wanted to bring it to you, see what you thought. Especially if you said Cosby. I looked up. I wasn't going to say nothing until you said Cosby. Like, yeah, Cosby is an interesting situation. Let me look up Cosby real quick.
And we at the end of the show now, so I'm going to probably be looking this up after we get off air. We're probably going to be still looking into this because I want to dive into this a little more because I'm curious. But that's interesting, man. I'm intrigued. Let's get into the reviews, though, man. Let's do the reviews. This stick here, Last Call by AJ Fernandez. Okay. So, this is the point I have reached in this cigar right here.
Nice,
dark, pretty Maduro wrapper on this.
Yeah,
this is a I would say it falls into the short stick category, you know what I'm saying? The longer side, but in the short stick category. And I would say if you are ever in the mood for a nice, strong short stick, I think this is a good choice for you. I've enjoyed this cigar a lot. Comes in full body. It's got a great aroma coming off of it. A little bit of a sweetness in the air, you know what I'm saying, that comes off of this cigar. Like I said, I picked up on the dark chocolate immediately. I did light it with a cedar stick, so I noticed some cedar, but I could contribute that to the cedar stick when I actually got this stick started. But on top of the dark chocolate, I picked up on some, I would say, espresso notes. So I described it. Espresso notes. Also, as this stick proceeded, it was a little bit of subtle spice. It started to come through once I crossed the halfway mark of this stick. And on the retrohale, clearly molasses, a clear molasses flavor on that. And those are pretty much the tones, the notes that I picked up on this particular stick. I would say as far as a rating, I'm not going to give it the coveted 4 as much as I enjoyed it. Back in the day, before we changed our rating system, I probably would have gave it a 4 because the construction's been good. It's burnt well, got a nice ash and everything. But I'm going to put this at around a 3.8 is where I'm going to put it at. And good score, good cigar. I would definitely smoke it again, but something's just keeping me. Something's missing from taking it to a 4 for me. So I'm not going to quite put it there. But damn good stick. I enjoyed it. Yeah. 3.8.
I would like to see how it finishes. Because the only thing that gets me with a lot of the short sticks is some of them don't finish well. I would say there's two short sticks that I've experienced in my life that finish well. Nub finishes well, and Short Story finishes really well.
Those are two goats in the short stick realm.
If it can finish up anywhere like those two shorter sticks do, I can see it probably being bumped up if it finishes like nice, really nice, like those two other sticks, then possibly. But the only thing that scares me is like not a lot of short sticks do finish strong or stronger than they start. So here we are.
Agreed.
All right, so Park Avenue 44 by Gurkha. And you know what? Before I go into my review, I feel like you set me up for this because I've been trolling you all week. Y'all don't know, Jerry, he's been sending me cigars like for the last couple of days. In the middle of the day, he's smoking a cigar. I'm at work. I'm just mad and hating. Like, ooh, nice Gurkha you got there. Like, I'm not smoking Gurkha. So I feel like you wanted me to suffer a little bit.
I didn't think about that, but maybe subconsciously I did, but I didn't consciously think about that.
Hey, since we're talking about conspiracy, that's a conspiracy for the day.
I'll let you have it.
All right, but overall, you know what? Not bad, man. Park Avenue 44, not bad. Reading the description a little bit, it says it's supposed to be leathery, but if this is leather for Gurkha, this is where you need to be. Gurkha, you're Park Avenue 44. Do your leather like this. If this is leather for you, Gurkha, right now on this Park Avenue 44, do your leather like this. This is decent leather. Like, the leather was not overpowering. If it's there, like, I didn't detect leather, but the description said it's supposed to be leathery, which is wild that they actually put that in the description. Gurkha, they are going so hard with leather. But
they don't miss.
I didn't get that. I didn't get that off of this stick. It did have a nice smooth creaminess to it. You saw I had good ash for a good little while before it ultimately fell off. So the construction of it was done very well, surprisingly well for a $5 cigar. So Gurkha, applause for doing a nicely constructed $5 cigar with this Park Avenue. The flavors, however, wasn't the greatest flavors that I look for in a stick. We did have some nice earths, nice tobaccos. You could tell there's some coffee bean flavor, which kind of leaves like a little bit of a bitterness, like that coffee, that black coffee bitterness type of deal. But it was subtle enough to where it wasn't something that was going to make my palate so not be taken yeah. well to. Yeah. I didn't frown at it like. But it was just something that was there that's like, yeah, this is like a bitter coffee bean. It was just black coffee type of deal. But overall, not too bad. Not too bad. And I say not too bad because I guess I'm thinking Gurkha. So of Gurkha cigars, this is probably one of the better Gurkha cigars I've ever smoked. Believe it or not. One of the better Gurkha cigars I've ever. I'm smoking some high-end Gurkha cigars, because I know Gurkha can go up there with their Ferrari cigar moniker. But for a $5 stick, I'm not mad at it. I am not mad at it. Is it something I'm going to pick up and go smoke again? Probably not. But if I saw somebody smoking this, I wouldn't be like, you're having the worst experience ever. You know, they're probably having a decent experience. They're probably chilling at a cookout and throwing one back and smoking a cigar and just enjoying life. And I wouldn't be too, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't look at them sideways. Do your thing. But overall, the cigar, I'm going to put it in threes. I'm going to give it a three. Because we have a very cheap cigar, $5 range, low on the leather, creamy smoke, light profile, not the best flavors, but not the worst. I didn't turn my nose up at it. So solid 3.0 for Gurkha Park Avenue 44.
One question. Can you grade it for me on a $5 curve? Or was that it?
Well, it did give it a bump. For the grade, because it is a $5 cigar. But if I said of all the cigars I've had that were in that $5 range, which Brick House, I've had a Brick House, which I've hated, which was a couple of them I had around $5. I can't remember, it starts with a C, and that was around the $5. It's like early on. I'm thinking back to early on, because we've been smoking up 15 and up for a good little while on this episode, on this podcast. But if I had a grade on the curve based on the other $5 sticks or something around that range, I'm gonna say seven to five, under eight.
Okay.
Under eight, because I think eight gives you a good medium stick. So under eight, seven, five to seven. I say this gives you a four. I would say it would be a four if you had to rate it amongst other cigars in that price range. I didn't hate it.
That's cool.
We're talking about in that price range.
We're not
rating against
Placencia Colita. In general, cigars.
Yeah, Monte Cristo, Fuente. Yeah. We're not doing that. My father's. We're not Oliva. Yeah. We're not doing that. If I had to rate against them, I might lower it down to a two something. if I pick up a Placencia and start smoking that, 2.5. But no, for what it is, 3.0 for what it is.
Okay. Cool, man. That's cool, man. All right, well, man, this is the Travis Kelce episode 87. We appreciate y'all for tuning in to this week's episode of the Cigars and Everything Else podcast. We up out of here. Keep them cigars up. Don't be diddying in your free time.